Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to talk about the playoffs. We get to talk about the playoffs finally, and Denver Nuggets fans finally know the opponent that the Nuggets will be facing in the first round of the playoffs. It is the Los Angeles Lakers, who played tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. Was a good game. A really, really impressive game. Fun when you don't, like, there's not a ton of stakes on it for Denver, obviously, like, and for Nuggets fans, it's probably a little bit more enjoyable to watch it from that perspective of, okay, who do we want to see? Who do you want to watch? And going back and forth, like, you get to see these teams a little bit more consistently towards the end. Like, I know as a Nuggets covering person, like, I'll definitely laser focus on Denver a little bit throughout the year, but I definitely felt that just watching those two teams, either challenge would be difficult. Either of them, they would present different challenges for sure. There's no doubt about it in my mind that yes, the Nuggets have had success against both of those teams, but there are some physical challenges, there are some mental challenges, there are some emotional challenges with a series like Denver's about to play, and it just would not surprise me at all if the Nuggets were at least a little bit uncomfortable in either series. So we'll talk all about it. There's plenty of time to get to all of the stuff. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. If you can, it would be awesome if you could like and subscribe to the YouTube video if you're listening there. If you are listening on the audio side, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Pickaxe and Roll feed. Try to upload four times a week. Might be doing a little bit more than four times as the playoffs roll around, and we will see what comes through. When do the Nuggets play? The Nuggets will play on Saturday. I did not have this pulled up. That is my bad. But the Denver Nuggets will play on Saturday night at 6:30. Should be very fun. Looking forward to seeing that matchup. And like Saturday, 6:30, I believe it's going to be on ABC, the nightcap for the ABC slate. And that is going to be a very, very fun matchup and a very, very fun atmosphere for sure. I know that the Nuggets are going to be putting out they're going to be putting out shirts on that first game. And then in perspective, games 2, 5, and 7, they'll probably do towels because it's what they do. But if you want to get out there, try to get to game one. That'll be a lot of fun. I really do think that this is going to be a crazy environment because you just know that the Lakers are going to bring it. You know that they're going to bring it mentally and emotionally. This is going to be one of those battles for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I think that like Denver now has a little bit of time to figure out how they're going to handle this, but going to be very fun. Going to be very interesting. And if you're a Nuggets fan, this is the one you're, like, I don't know if you're hoping for this, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. First and foremost, just talking about tonight, The Lakers won 110-106. This was a game that came down to the wire, and it felt like the Pelicans had some momentum, especially towards the end. It felt like they were going to come back from this, because like the Lakers were up. They outscored the Pelicans 34-16 in the second quarter. It felt like all the whistles were going their way. Felt like all the momentum was going their way. CJ McCollum did not show up to this game. Brandon Ingram was subpar. But Zion Williamson actually put them on his back and did a really nice job of getting the Pelicans back into this one. 40 points. 40 points for Zion Williamson. 17 of 27. Couple missed free throws here or there. That definitely hurt them in this one, where the Pelicans shoot 26, or the Lakers shoot 26 of 29 from the free throw line, and the Pelicans only get 11 points at the free throw line themselves, 11 of 15. Every single one of those counts, and that is something that if you're a Nuggets fan, you got to take with you into a future series, into a series against the Lakers, is that the Lakers are going to go downhill. They're going to get a good whistle. That's just how it goes. And if you're the Nuggets, you got to make sure that any points of the free throw line that you do get, you got to capitalize on. Denver has not been a good free throw shooting team today. And it really did feel like, and CT's here. What's up, CT? I'll be in that chat, by the way, tomorrow night. There'll be a Twitter Spaces or an X Spaces, whatever you want to call it, on tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Four Nuggets fans talking about the first round. I'll be there. I'll be there to chat at least for a little bit. But yeah, it felt like the Pelicans were going to do it. They had it all tied up. And then Zion goes down after hitting a layup over the top of, I think it was LeBron, and gets hurt. Back to the locker room. Sucks. Really sucks, because he had been, like, health has always bothered him, man. And that is going to continue to plague him, I feel, with the play style that he has. He's a ticking time bomb at this point, but it does feel like the Pelicans had one. They had an opportunity here, and it fell through the fingers. Denvengers soon. I think there will be a Denvengers. For those that don't know, Adam Morris, Matt Moore, Cameron and I, Swipe a Cam, and myself, we generally try to get together and do a series preview for each round. We did it last year. Seemed to work out pretty well. We will see if we can get it together soon. But plans are being made. The groundwork is being laid for stuff like this. Don't want to get your hopes up too much, but I think that we've got something. We'll let you know. But yeah, this one tonight, it felt like the Lakers were going to pull away. Pelicans worked it all the way back. Really impressed with Jose Alvarado, Larry Nance off the bench. Trey Murphy hit a big three at the end of the third quarter for them. +7, +10, +8 for all those guys. Brandon Ingram goes -16. CJ McCollum -17. Big V, Jonas Valanciunas, 4 points, 1 of 7, -13 in 20 minutes. That's brutal. And just watching this, like, you could see just how easy of a matchup Jokic would have against the Pelicans. Like, it would be tremendously easy for him. Larry Nance is a good defender, but he's undersized, and Jokic handles the undersized defenders a lot better than somebody like Anthony Davis does. Anthony Davis still managed to hit the key free throws when he needed to, got enough baskets, got the offensive rebound, a key offensive rebound towards the end of this game, but it felt like the Pelicans, their rotation has some juice to it. So this is what I'm going to try to really emphasize in the third segment. No matter which of these teams had won, whether it was the Lakers or the Pelicans, the Nuggets would have been up for lack of a better word, a dogfight. It would have been tough. It's going to be tough. It will still be. Denver's going to have to be nose to the grindstone. There cannot be any messing around. And you can absolutely see a world where this Lakers team, the one that played tonight, could steal a couple games off of Denver, could make them sweat a little bit, could make it a little bit more disruptive for them. And as much as the Nuggets have owned the Lakers over the course of the past few matchups, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will own the version of the Lakers that will enter the playoffs. And that's what Lakers fans are continuing to tell themselves. There's no doubt about it. But it does feel to me like the Lakers are hitting a stride. You could see it with a lot of the guys out there. Not necessarily LeBron. He shot 6 of 20, although he hit a very key turnaround jumper. Was a very, very impressive bucket. 6 of 20 for LeBron, but he got to the free throw line 10 times. 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. A couple charges that he took in this game were huge. Took one on Zion. It looked like he hurt his wrist. We will see whether he gets a little bit of treatment on that. I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up on the injury report for that left wrist that he was holding out during today. But that's something to watch out for. I think the Nuggets have better personnel to guard the Lakers than the Pelicans do. Pelicans did a pretty nice job when they were going small. They were scrappy. Jose Alvarado did a really nice job. Guys like Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, just long arms, doing everything that they could. But CJ McCollum was cooked while he was out there, and he shot 4 of 15 and 1 of 9 from 3. Zion is obviously not the greatest defender, but he was better than Ingram. Way better than McCollum. Way better than Valanciunas. Very clear that so many of the bench guys for them, with Nance, Alvarado, and Murphy, like those guys are, if they can get into the playoffs, if the Pelicans can get into the playoffs against the OKC Thunder, that would mean that they defeat whoever the winner is of tonight between the Kings and the Warriors. If the Pelicans get in, I think that they can give OKC some trouble. I'm not going to sit here and say that they will, and guys like CJ McCollum and Jonas Valanciunas are going to be put in hell by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Valanciunas is going to have to really fight his way on the glass and like rebound like a madman. But it gave me a lot of appreciation watching Valanciunas. Gave me a lot of appreciation for Jokic and his mobility and his ability to get up and down the floor. Because watching Valanciunas out there just like struggle to get up in transition, it was a, like, that dude's been through a lot. He's been through, like, he's a big dude, obviously. I can relate. But he's a big dude who, it's going to, like, a game that's a track meet, like one that would be against OKC, that'll be tough. The good news for the Pelicans is they've got a great small ball option with Larry Nance, who can play a lot of minutes. And then Zion is one of those guys that I just don't know if OKC would have an answer for. So that's one to watch. That is certainly one to watch. I love the idea of Zion Williamson and Chet Holmgren meeting at the rim. I do not love the idea of Chet Holmgren trying to take a charge against Zion Williamson like LeBron did tonight. That might snap Chet in half, but fortunately he likes to jump. He likes to contest at the top, so we will see what ultimately happens with it. But I was impressed with the fight that the Pelicans had. They're a scrappy team. They're a team that if you let them hang around, then they will stick around. They did kind of shoot themselves in the foot multiple times with the turnovers in the first half, but they only finished with 12. And once they kind of got the lineups out there that they needed to, it felt like they were in a pretty good place. So we'll see what happens with it, but tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Lakers. We're going to talk a little bit more about this upcoming matchup in the first round. Very curious to see how it goes. And I want to hear your thoughts in the comment section and in the live chat. What does Denver need to do to match up with Los Angeles this time around? Should be fun. We'll be right back. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. This is Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We will be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. I don't know if you guys noticed, I moved the bookcase over here. I got a PSVR too, and have been using that. I got it for a good deal, actually. but never used it before. PSVR 2, amazing system. Just really, really impressive stuff. So I'm looking forward to using that, playing some Beat Saber on that. It just looks amazing. So let me know if you're VR fans out there, let me know if you've got any fun games that you think I should try, that you think I should use to keep me sane during this playoff stretch, because that is the secret to covering basketball, by the way. That when you're not doing this, when you're not podcasting, when you're not talking about the game, you're not thinking about the game, and you try to find ways to get a little bit of a break. So that's at least been my secret, and I hope I continue to provide good coverage for you going forward. Let me know if you've got any PSVR 2 fans in the chat. All right, let's focus in on this game and on this series that's upcoming. The Denver Nuggets will play the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. Going back and looking at some of the matchups, people can obviously pick those out. There's no question in my mind that you could pick those out, like, in your head if you wanted to. Jokic's lines in each of these games are really interesting. First game of the season, 29, 13, and 11, was plus 15 in 36 minutes. Shot 12 of 22, not the most efficient percentage, but he shot 3 of 5 from 3. And was, like I said, plus 15 in 36 minutes. Obviously, that is a great, great performance. In that same game, Jamal Murray, 8 of 13 from the field, 21.6 assists. I remember that game, and I remember it being mostly about just kind of getting to know everybody, and Murray was certainly taking a little bit of, like, not taking as many shots, not taking as many possessions, soaking them up, but his playmaking was really good, and he got into D'Angelo Russell's head. He got into, I think it was it Gabe Vincent? Did Gabe Vincent play in that game? He did. It was Gabe Vincent. There was some residual rivalry between those two from the NBA Finals, actually, where Gabe Vincent obviously played with the Miami Heat. So interesting to think about that. Gabe Vincent obviously has not played a lot for the Lakers so far this year, but he's going to be in their rotation. He's going to be somebody that they trust, and the Nuggets are familiar with his game, but it's a layer that they didn't have to deal with before. Next matchup. Got to go all the way to February 8th. This is Kobe night. This was 2-8. This was Kobe night. This was a Michael Porter Jr. game. This was one where, Nikola Jokic, 24, 13, and 9, but he shot 9 of 20, 2 of 6 from 3, had 6 turnovers. Not necessarily his best performance. He did some good things and was a plus 10 in 36 minutes once again. But I think in my mind that what's really going to separate Denver in this series is what they can get from their shooting. Michael Porter had 27 points on 11 of 20. This was was this the one where Jokic had the blind pass? Where he had the blind pass to the corner and, like, it was Austin Reeves gambling off of the corner, trying to steal it at the elbow. Jokic moves it like he's a Jedi and then hits Mike in the corner. I don't know. I don't remember if that was this one or the next one, but this was Kobe night. And this was one where I think the Lakers thought that they had an opportunity, but it came down to the clutch, and it didn't ultimately go that well. So for the Lakers, they are obviously at a disadvantage with something like this. Anthony Davis, 32 points, 14 of 27 in this particular matchup. Jackson Hayes came off the bench and did pretty well. He's going to be in their rotation as well. Rui Hachimura started and played 37 minutes, but he only shot the ball 5 times. So that was kind of an interesting distribution for sure. LeBron was fine in this one. Jamal Murray, just kind of circling back to him, he was maybe the best player in this game in that second matchup. It was on Kobe night, so not really a surprise, but 29 points was a plus 17, while Jokic was only a plus 10, which means, like, the bench really had some good moments with Murray out there leading it. And I believe Aaron Gordon was a big piece of that as well. But 29 points, 11 assists, 2 steals for Murray, 12 of 25. There's not a lot of players on the Lakers that can realistically guard Jamal. Like, in this game, they didn't play Gabe Vincent, the Lakers didn't. So in the starting lineup, Max Christie was out there. He started off guarding Jamal, but it ultimately became Austin Reeves, Skylar Mays, Taurean Prince. LeBron kind of spent some time on him, but there was no D'Angelo Russell in there, so not necessarily taking this one for gospel, but it is interesting to think about. Final matchup between these two teams was on March 2nd. This was LeBron's 40K night, and Denver ultimately played a very similar game to what they had, and not really a surprise that it ultimately had the similar results, where Denver, they got down to it, they played a clutch game, and everybody in Denver's starting lineup was pretty good. Christian Brown actually started in this one. KCP did not play. Justin Holiday closed in the game, I believe. Christian Brown had 24 minutes. This was a time where Christian was still trying to figure out what he was supposed to do within Denver's rotation, how he was supposed to adapt to certain lineups. But it's a good sign that he was plus 9 in this game in 24 minutes, Christian Brown was. Nikola Jokic, 35, 10, and 7. Plus 16, 16 of 25 in nearly 39 minutes. Jamal nearly plays 39 as well, has 24 points and 11 assists. Was only a plus 6, but still pretty solid. And then Michael Porter, this was another key. 25 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 10 of 10 from the field, 5 of 5 from 3. This was the perfect Michael Porter Jr. game. This was one where Denver needed all of the shooting that they could get, and they got it. Like, I'm going to keep coming back to the spacing, to the shooting. Denver as a team shot 11 of 26 from 3, 42%. Michael Porter made up 5 of 5 of that, so the rest of the team was 6 of 21. Doesn't look as great when you say it like that. Murray and Jokic each shot 1 of 5. Justin Holiday came off the bench and shot 3 of 5 from 3. Big game from Justin Holiday, who he'll play a role in this series. He's going to have to, because like I said, spacing's going to matter. Spacing's going to be a big one in this particular series. The Lakers, they have it. They have it at this point. D'Angelo Russell has played pretty well, and over the course, you just go to the game tonight, he was big. 7 of 14 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, was a plus 16 in a game that they won by 4, and played 37 minutes. So in the 11 minutes that he didn't play, the Lakers nearly lost the game. They were minus 12 in those 11 minutes. So there are some things that D'Angelo Russell can do. There are some things that the Nuggets are going to have to figure out. Like, he loves to go to his right in the pick and roll. He loves to be able to step back, hit a three if you give him the space. And if he is involved defensively, he'll use his hands pretty well, but he's not going to use his body really well. He's not a really smart defender. He still gets caught for sure. But I am very curious to see what the rotation looks like for the Lakers, because just looking at it tonight, each of the starters played in between 33 and 41 minutes. Rui Hachimura was the guy who played the lowest at 33. Taurean Prince played 22. Gabe Vincent played 18. Jackson Hayes, 8. Spencer Dinwiddie played just 5 minutes and was a minus 9. So these are the layers that the Lakers are going to have to figure out against Denver, where Denver's got their starting lineup. They've got their main 5 guys. They've got Reggie Jackson. They've got Christian Brown. They've got Peyton Watson. They've got Justin Holiday and probably not anybody else. So when Denver goes small, they're going to be facing a pretty small Lakers unit as well. The only one who is really tall with that second unit is Jackson Hayes. He can go up above the rim in this particular game against the Pelicans, his former team, by the way, plus 8 in 8 minutes. So he can make an impact even if he's not making a major box score impact, because they're going to have to respect his rim rolling. So Denver's going to have to do the same. They're going to have to manage that with their second unit. I assume that Peyton Watson will be the guy who guards LeBron James when he staggers with the second unit. I assume that Aaron Gordon will be the backup 5, and he will guard Jackson Hayes, which means that when those guys run pick and roll, it's going to be a switch. Aaron Gordon will switch onto LeBron. So that means that Reggie Jackson's going to get posted up in this, where they're going to find whoever, like, whoever's being guarded by Reggie Jackson is going to go set a screen for LeBron. And then LeBron is going to post up Reggie. Or he's going to try to post up Christian. Maybe he tries to post up Jamal. Like, these things are going to happen. I'll talk about Denver's rotation a little bit in another podcast, because I am curious as to how it does actually break down. I'm curious to see what the minutes are going to look like. I'll do some predictions and figuring out some rotations. Off the dome piece, I have to imagine that the bench lineup that Denver's going to run out against the Lakers will be Murray, Christian Brown, Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, Aaron Gordon. Four wing defenders and forwards and guys that can really switch, guys that can really guard, and Murray. Murray's going to be the guy who's going to load up there. He's going to have to be the guy that carries the unit offensively. He's going to be a playmaker, and he has been a playmaker against the Lakers. How the Lakers guard him is going to matter. How the Lakers guard him is going to be a big battle in this one. But then again, what I am really talking about here is like 8 total minutes a game between the 4 minutes that Jokic doesn't play. LeBron will be out there for that entire time. Murray will be out there for that entire time. Aaron Gordon probably out there. Maybe DeAndre Jordan gets out there on occasion. Maybe Zeke Nnaji gets out there on occasion, but I kind of doubt it. I think that that's what the rotation's probably going to bear out for Denver. And what it's going to look like for the Lakers is they're going to have to take advantage of those moments, because I don't think they're going to be able to take much advantage of the Nuggets when Jokic is out there. Because even if it's Reggie Jackson, even if it's Christian Brown and Peyton Watson and guys like that who are not necessarily elite spacers, Jokic is going to have opportunities scoring at the rim, and he's going to have opportunities, especially if they have Rui on him, guarding him. They're going to have plenty of opportunities for him to create cutting opportunities and like different areas for sure. Going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to what this matchup is going to entail, but that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at for the initial stages of what this matchup is going to look like. So when we come back, get into the third segment, we'll talk about everything that comes to the Western Conference playoff picture, because we know what 9 of the 8 teams are going to be. We'll figure out what the other one is. Actually, no, still 10 are still involved because the other game has not finished up. So we will see what ultimately happens with that. Well, it looks like the Kings are up on the Warriors. Interesting. Somebody keep me appraised of that. Who's playing well? Is Steph Curry shooting poorly? That's probably what the case is. But we will be, that would be very interesting to see what happens with it. We will be right back to talk about the Western Conference playoff picture. But first, Scott DeHuff. Final segment. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, folks. Make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube video. That would be tremendous, as we just broke 7,000 subscribers on the Mile High Sports channel. Really appreciate everybody for being a part of that. Obviously, like, there are other videos that we do put out, but the most consistent content that we've been putting out on this channel has been this podcast. So really appreciate seeing that number grow and seeing people like what's been going on. So if you have other things you'd like me to cover from this series, comment down below. Comment where your questions are, what you're thinking about for this Nuggets-Lakers series. There will be, I think, at least one more podcast between now and when the playoffs start. Probably 2. So we will get into that for sure. Going to be a lot of fun. Let's now transition over to another conversation. West is tough. The West is just an absolute tire fire this year. And in a bad, like, in a really good way, like, for not for the Nuggets, but for the league and for what they've been able to do. Think about it this way. this was the first time in NBA history that in either conference, there have been 10 teams that are 10 games above 500. There's going to be a team, either the Pelicans, the Kings, or the Warriors, actually two of the three, will be eliminated. Two of those three have 46 wins. The other has 49. Like, these are really good teams, and at least maybe not to the degree that some of the other teams are, but it is so difficult to be really good in the West. It just is. Like, with the Celtics, with the Knicks tumbled all over themselves to, like, figure out exactly how they're going to build. Then they built Villanova's roster, and that ultimately became really good. Jalen Brunson is now, like, getting MVP votes. Jalen Brunson's really good, but the Knicks won 50 games. Like, they would be tied for the fifth seed in the West right now. The Bucks backed their way into the playoffs. They have injuries out the wazoo and should have one of the most dynamic duos in the NBA in Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, but they just don't. Cleveland, like, Brian Windhorst is actively looking at Donovan Mitchell and being like, ah, man, if the Knicks don't, if the, not the Knicks, if the Cavs don't do anything of note, their team's going to look a lot different in the upcoming seasons. That's the worst kept secret in the NBA, obviously. I'm not sure where Donovan Mitchell's ultimately going to go, but if they lose to the Orlando Magic, who are the fifth seed, in the first round of the playoffs this year, that Cleveland Cavaliers team is going to be blown up to smithereens. I think the Pelicans are a better team than the Cavs. I'll just watch them. Pelicans know what they're doing. The Cavs, like, they're going to run pick and roll. That's great. But they also, like, their players don't know how to fit well. Actually, I can't just say that because the Pelicans players don't know how to fit well together either. Because Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson are still trying to figure each other out. And CJ McCollum's just trying to figure out what day of work he's supposed to be clocking in for. But the point I'm trying to make here, West is really hard. It just is. It's just one of those conferences that if you're the Nuggets, you knew that whoever you faced in the first round was going to be difficult. I put out a poll a couple days ago about, okay, between the Lakers and the Pelicans, which team would you rather face? Pelicans won that 55-45. 54-46, somewhere around there. You're going to get the Lakers, and maybe people didn't necessarily want to face the Lakers, but I'm here to tell you that every single matchup is going to be difficult. Every single one. Even if it was the Kings. The Kings are basically like the C or B version of the Nuggets, with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis trying to masquerade as Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Like, they don't have the pieces, but they would still cause some issues. They would still be difficult to guard. They would still be a team that Denver would have to figure out over the course of a series. Golden State, not sure how that would work, but Golden State still figured stuff out, and they've still got some championship DNA in them. Is it fading? Sure. But any matchup that Denver could have had, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Suns, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Warriors, any of those ones that were outside of the top three, they're always going to be tough. And Denver, like, let's say the Suns actually upset the Timberwolves. Your reward is to face the Suns, like, in the second round, a team that got better in the offseason because they moved on from DeAndre Ayton, who was just an energy sucker, an energy leech. And that would have been really interesting, but I just tend to think that Suns had not figured some stuff out. They're going to be tough if Denver ultimately faces them, but you can't look forward too far. Yeah, Snow Wolf says, I thought I had a cat outside my house. No, that is the cat that is meowing underneath my door because he just wants to get in and wants to hang out so badly during this podcast. I'll get to him in just a bit, but no, that is my cat. The West is tough. Denver's had to go through it. They've had to go through it for their entire lives. It's one of the things where people talk about Jamal Murray not making an all-star team. I tend to roll my eyes at that because he's had to compete in the Western Conference with the likes of Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, now Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and like it just keeps going on and on. And now Anthony Edwards too. Like the talent in the West doesn't stop. Victor Wembanyama, who basically hurt the Nuggets from the one seed perspective, absolutely. Like everything is tough. Everything is difficult. The Nuggets are going to have to go through it. If they were to make it to the finals this year, think about it this way. I'm going to go to the records from last year as just a little bit of a comparison point. Last year, the teams and the win totals that they had that the Nuggets faced and won against, the Minnesota Timberwolves were 42-40. The Phoenix Suns were 45-37. The Lakers were 43-39. And the Heat were 44-38. None of the teams that Denver beat last year were over 45 wins. And that is not a criticism of Denver's path. It's not. Like, that was the best that the NBA could throw at them last year because the rest of the league sucked. And because the rest of the league faltered and could not, like, they could not handle the pressure that Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat were handing him? Are you kidding me? Like, it was disgusting from the Eastern Conference. The Heat should not have been there. Denver should have faced a really tough team at the end. And they did, but like... And then you just had parity across the league that really hurt them. Now, if I do the same exercise, and let's say all the favorites win. Let's say Denver and all the favorites... Let's say they match up. The Nuggets will face the Lakers, who have 47 wins. That is already more than any of the teams that Denver faced last year. If they get through that, they'll face the Timberwolves, 56 wins. They get through that, the OKC Thunder, 57 wins. If they are lucky enough to get to the NBA Finals, they're most likely going to have to face off against a 64-win Boston team. That's probably breezing through the Eastern Conference as we speak. Like, it's going to be a tough path. It just is. It's going to be tougher than last year. And there's no shame in saying that. Now, the kicker is that if it is tougher than last year, and you still go like 16-4 or 16-5, then oh boy, good luck criticizing that run. Good luck criticizing that particular run through the Western Conference and into the NBA Finals. Going to be really interesting to see what kind of excuses pundits kind of dream up about just how good the Western Conference is, how good Nikola Jokic is actually, how good Jamal Murray is actually. You fans, you know how good those guys are. You know how great those guys are. They're fantastic. And I'm so curious to see what ultimately happens here because I cannot imagine for the life of me Denver's thinking, oh yeah, it's going to be simple. But if they take care of business, if they do what they are supposed to do, they should probably beat the Lakers in 5 games. They should manage to get through the Minnesota Timberwolves in 6 or 7. They should get through the OKC Thunder if they survive in about 6, and then I'm expecting a 7-game series against Boston. So you just do the math. 5, 12, 18, and 25. 25 games. I think that's the right math. 25 games. 5, 12. How did I get to 12? 6 or 7? Yeah. 24 or 25 games. It's a lot more than 20. And that is where I get a little bit hung up for Denver. And nobody wants to hear this, but I said this on the radio earlier today. That's where I get hung up on Denver and say, it's going to be really, really, really tough for them to stay healthy, for them to stay energized, for them to stay locked in, for the bench to continue to provide consistent help the deeper a playoff series goes. Because what do minutes happen to do when things get tight? Probably playing Jokic 42 minutes, probably playing Murray 43 minutes, probably playing Gordon 40 minutes. All these guys are playing heavy minutes. And the earlier on in the playoffs that you have to do that, it's my opinion that the less likely Denver will win the NBA Finals is. So they got to take care of these series early. They've got to be consistent. They cannot let games slip if they can help it. If a team blows you out, if you just don't have it one night, fine. That's what the series is for. It's not what the play-in is for. That's what the series is for. What that usually looks like, by the way, for a team in Denver's position is if, let's say, it's the Lakers. Game one, game two go to Denver. Game three, big emotional game for a team like the Lakers. They get that one. And it's like a 15-20 point victory. Lakers get very excited. If they win game four, then you swing it. But then Denver wins game four. And then they go back and take care of business in five. That's what a gentleman's sweep looks like. And if I'm Denver, I'm gunning for at least that. You gotta find a way to keep these series short. If you do, you'll get more rest, you'll get more opportunities to see what's happening around the NBA, and for other teams to get surprised. Maybe it's the Celtics, maybe it's the Wolves, maybe it's the Thunder, who knows? But if those teams get upset, it makes Denver's path easier. And that would be great, because in the end, it's not on Denver to make other teams face them. It's not on Denver. If Denver takes care of their own business, they can only play who is in front of them. And that is where a lot of people get this wrong. Denver's got to get themselves the easiest pathway possible. That's why you get the one seed. That's why you get the two seed. That's why you get as high as possible. So you can avoid teams like the Suns, which would have been bad. That would have been a really tough series. Lakers will be tough too, but for different reasons. I think the Nuggets can do it. All right. Folks, I think that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. Let me know what your series predictions are in the comments below. I'm curious to see, do you think Denver will sweep? Do you think they'll win it in 5, 6, 7? I think they get upset. I'm curious. I'm curious to see how it goes, but should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the matchup once again. Would have been fun to see the Pelicans. Would have been fun to see that matchup, but I do think that this was faded. Jokic versus the King. LeBron James, Anthony Davis versus Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. Should be a lot of fun. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please hit that like button and the subscribe button on the way out. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. I'll talk to you guys very soon.